talking with the experts.
Explore how to truly enjoy your business with Andrew Miller, who shares strategies for transforming stress into satisfaction in episode 547.
If I quickly run through a very simplistic concept of what the business enjoyment model is, there's two sides to it. So the first off is getting yourself in a good place in some way, shape or form. So yes, financially, but also as a person, as a human being, understanding yourself, what your traps, your fears are, what triggers you, fears of rejection, imposter syndrome, all these sort of things that play off. So getting yourself in a good place first. So we do need to look after that in the first place. But working on those things and building these things will only get us to a certain level of satisfaction. And normally, actually, there's a lot of drivers which are fear-based. We're scared of losing everything. We're scared of rejection. We're scared of not being good enough. And so we do stuff to try and overcome it. So we can have perceived success based on a negative drive, which never actually brings us satisfaction. So we need to do work in that space.
Talking with the experts.
Are you looking to elevate your brand? Advertise with Talking with the Experts and reach a global audience. With over 36,000 monthly listeners, your message will resonate with a dedicated and engaged community. Hosted by Rose Davidson, our podcast has ranked in the top 100 in Australia and the top 20 in New Zealand. Boost your brand visibility, connect with potential customers, and drive conversions. Our listeners are eager for innovative solutions and expert insights. Let your brand be the one that they trust. Are you ready to grow with us? To learn more about advertising opportunities, contact us today.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts, where we believe that success is a journey, and every journey is easier with help from friends. That's why we bring you top-notch experts and real business heroes eager to share their lessons from the road to success. We delve into new topics each week: effective marketing strategies, innovative problem solving, financial planning, and team building. We tackle everything you need to know to grow your business and keep it thriving. Whether you dream about launching your first startup or a business veteran looking to shake things up, we've got you covered. With each episode, you'll gain knowledge, boost your confidence, and be inspired to take action. So, grab a coffee, make yourself comfortable, and join our exciting journey. You're not alone in this. We're here, guiding you, cheering for you, and celebrating each milestone. Let's turn your business dreams into reality, starting today. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today it's my very great pleasure to introduce to you Andrew Miller, who is the founder of Business Enjoyment. Andrew's a business coach. He's a multiple author and a TEDx speaker and has significant experience in both running businesses and helping people with deep-seated beliefs and emotional hang-ups. He's a qualified insolvency practitioner, and he spent 16 years in the restructuring department of the global accountancy firm KPMG. He then moved into coaching and is focusing on helping those who had their business overcome, who helps their business overcome the trauma and all the things that go with it and get back on their feet. Now, we're going to be discussing, obviously, all things business and about business happiness and how we can, you know, get ourselves sorted, because, you know, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, you might as well not be doing it at all. That's my philosophy anyway. And according to recent surveys, the majority of small business owners cite their business as having a negative impact on their mental health. And running your own business is quite frequently described as being lonely and stressful. So why not create something that we can actually enjoy rather than something that is stressful? Spot on there. Andrew, welcome to Talking with the Experts. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on. Really looking forward to the conversation. Yeah, but sounds like we were in accord with what we're talking about, so that's good.
Absolutely. Now, you started off working for KPMG, and quite I, as a side bit to that, I used to work for them as well. But I used to work in the document control agency down in Adelaide in Australia. So yeah, so we've got a bit in common there.
Yeah.
But how did you go from working for KPMG to, going into coaching and helping business owners find that happiness that they all well deserve?
Yeah, it wasn't a quick process, although there were a few aha moments in there. But the sort of the awakening for me was that we're at an event. I got promoted to a certain level, and we had one of these things where you sort of like get you ready for the next level and all this sort of stuff. And we had a coach come in. Had never heard the word coach before. I don't think it was even used at that time. But it's only afterwards I thought, oh, he was a coach. He was Australian as well, actually. And amongst many of the things we did was one of those things where you write down your values, what's important to you, and then write down the values of the firm as well. And and obviously there's always some that are plastic. You might even remember the ones that were on the thing on the wall and all the rest of it. But that's not really the values, what's actually lived and breathed by the company, kind of thing. And the idea is you sort of see where they match and see where they mix and see if you can get them closer together. So I wrote mine down. I wrote down the ones of the firm, or at least the particular section of the firm I had, and looked at them, and I thought, oh, you thought there'd be at least one overlapping. And then whilst the rest of the stuff was going on, I was just sat in this fog going, oh yeah, I don't actually enjoy what I'm doing. And I've been in there for like 12, 13 years at this point, and I've never regretted it, by the way. There's nothing, no slight on the firm, any of this. A great experience. Insolvency is a unique sort of sector, but basically my job was running businesses of all sorts, because it's hands-on commercial decision making and negotiating and all this sort of stuff. Really interesting, exciting work. And 2 years in the Melbourne office as well, by the way. So whether we overlapped at that time, I don't know. Yeah, it's a great experience, but ultimately I've just fallen into it. I'd never actually created my career. I just like, what next, what next, and followed the path that was sort of laid out to me, and ultimately wasn't getting any satisfaction out of it. Now it took me about 4 years to work out what I did want to do. So there was a period where I was at work and like knowing I didn't want to be there. But it happened at a time when KPMG was going through much more of a person or staff or team orientated focus. So there was a lot more personal development stuff going on, which I ended up getting involved in. So essentially started getting snippets in terms of what coaching was, how you can help people. And I got a role which was working with people and helping them deal with personal issues, psychological issues, things more than just business stuff. And realized that's, I like this. I like sitting down with somebody and talking with them and helping them. And there was a natural skill there. So that led me down to the sort of concept of coaching. But that's a broad concept. Coaching is just a tool. What does it actually mean? How do you do it? So I think you sort of alluded, when I first started, it was focusing on people who had lost their business. And obviously, with my experience, you're working alongside a business owner that's watching everything they've built collapse, and it really draws home the emotional connection we have with our business. And on one hand, we have to kind of divorce that because we don't want to be too attached to it. But the other hand, we've also got to be aware of that. And particularly in the small business sector, we are our business. And so there's a direct connection between who we are, how we think, what we do, and how we perform as a business owner.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a very special. And again, in people going through that traumatic situation, that brought up a whole load of personal stuff as well. So I've got all the business experience. That's where we really started getting into some of the how the brain works, how we experience stress, how we overcome stress, and those sort of things. So that was
Yeah,
super.
and as business owners, you're right. We are our business as a small business owner, but we build these stress-inducing traps, and that keep us in our business. So how can we, alleviate or pinpoint that what those traps might be and how we can, work towards overcoming them?
Starting point is noticing yourself, what's creating stress in me. And one example is that we keep getting bombarded with all these messages which really don't help. Resilience is a big phrase that gets used all the time. You've got to be resilient. And yes, we do, but it's a tool to be used at the right times. There are times when we need to be resilient. The trouble is we end up taking it into the nth degree and we continue resilient until we're bashing our head against a brick wall and think, and there's everybody sort of standing around applauding us going, "You really smashed your head hard there, woo!" There aren't any prizes for doing your head in. Sometimes we need to step back and go a different route if what we're doing isn't working for us. But there's a lot of fear around changing the tack, going the other way. Another issue I have is goals. We get back bombarded about goals. Got to set a goal for this, got to set a goal for that. And yes, it's useful to have a focus and a direction, totally on board with that. But the goals end up creating pressure in and of themselves because we must achieve it, must get there. Oh gosh, I haven't got it yet. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. And goal actually comes from a word that means boundary. It's constraining. It's restrictive. So key words to listen out for whenever we're talking, whenever we're having a conversation with somebody, when we're talking about what we're up to, have to, must do, should. Have to do this. I have to get this done. I must be on social media 3 hours a day in order to do this. I should be doing blah, blah, blah. Any sentence where we're saying have to, must do, should do is a constraining sentence. It's putting us in a box where we have no options. And when we have no options, we're stressed. Start point is whenever we have a sentence that says I have to do something, we normally stop the sentence there. Extend the sentence because there'll be a context that sits after it, which will be a choice. So I have to be on social media 3 hours a day in order to what? Why, how do you finish that sentence? And then explore that sentence and say, well, am I choosing to do this or not? Is this actually what I want? Oh, no, actually, I don't have to be 3 hours on social media in order to achieve that. Or, oh, no, I do want to do that. And then and that can just change the way we react to the work we have to do, for example. This is just a few little spits and spatters, but bottom line is look at yourself first. Where am I experiencing stress? And is there something that is forcing me down a path I don't really want to be doing? And challenge the assumptions that lie behind those pressures, if you like.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of coaches, and I've had three or four coaches that use the, you must do this and you should do this and, you have to do this. And once they start preaching that sort of philosophy to me, I think, well, they're not for me because I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. So why do you think, in your opinion only, do you think coaches promote that type of thinking when it is actually putting pressure and stress on their clients?
That's a broad question because it would depend on the coach in question to a certain extent. There's different levels of it. So when you're looking at the stuff that comes out on social media and the facade of the marketing stuff, then obviously there's ultimately behind it is there's a product to sell. So you have to do this, so buy my thing in order to achieve that kind of thing. So it creates a certainty around what they're trying to sell. It's not a great marketing message to go, we could do it, might work, maybe it will, maybe it won't, give it a go. Even though it's true.
Saying about marketing, but coaches use that words that to their people that they're coaching. And why do they sort of force those beliefs on people when it can cause the person they're coaching such stress, especially if it's not something that they would normally do, it's not in their thinking.
And then you've got there's a big debate in there is what coaching actually is and what it means. So pure coaching, as a tool. Not everything should be coaching, I don't think. But coaching as a tool is never dictating, it's never telling, it's never pointing in a direction. It's allowing you to come up and giving you options and choices, and helping you make a decision based on what feels right rather than external whatevers. So there's a lot of people out there that call themselves coaches that aren't actually coaches. They're mentors, they're consultants, or whatever it might be. I think the analogy I've often used in the past between these different things, a mentor is somebody who's run a business and will tell you how he did it and what you should do to follow. A consultant looks at all the different businesses out there and tells you what the best strategies are in order to achieve what you need to do. And a coach says, why do you want to run a business?
Yeah, I agree. I think people who call themselves coaches shouldn't be a coach, or shouldn't label themselves as a coach, because they're not coaching, they're telling. And just because your business was successful, or their business was successful in the things that they achieved and the strategies they used, doesn't mean that they'll help or work for the next person.
I often use have you heard that a little thought experiment of the infinite number of monkeys? If you get an infinite number of monkeys, infinite number of typewriters, eventually one of them will write the works of Shakespeare or whatever, which is a discussion about probability and that sort of thing. But I was just thinking, if that did actually happen, what would happen to that particular monkey that ended up with the complete works of Shakespeare? And he would be on talk shows, he would be on stage, he would get his own book deal, he would get his buy my course, you too can write the, and he would be lauded as this, could be a she, sorry, they could be lauded as this guru on how to create this stuff. But it's not, it's luck, it's chance, it's possibility. It's no guarantee that he can reproduce the thing that they did before. So yeah, that's what you're talking to.
100%. People forget to include their vision, in how they, structure their business or how they work in their business. So how do they stop from chasing that wrong thing, that wrong widget?
Well, if I quickly run through a very simplistic concept of what the business enjoyment model is, there's two sides to it. So the first off is getting yourself in a good place in some way, shape or form. So yes, financially, but also as a person, as a human being, understanding yourself, what your traps, your fears are, what triggers you, fears of rejection, imposter syndrome, all these sort of things that play off. So getting yourself in a good place first. So we do need to look after that in the first place. But working on those things and building these things will only get us to a certain level of satisfaction. And normally, actually, there's a lot of drivers which are fear-based. We're scared of losing everything. We're scared of rejection. We're scared of not being good enough. And so we do stuff to try and overcome it. So we can have perceived success based on a negative drive, which never actually brings us satisfaction. So we need to do work in that space. And then there's another level above that, which is where we kind of step into purpose and find out what that thing is. What is it out there that when I make a difference actually resonates with me? And now I can feel what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So when we talk about thinking about vision, and there's a lot of talk about vision, where you want to be and all that sort of stuff. And again, I'm all in favor of direction. I don't need to be worried to be specifics. But when people do talk about it, let me give you an example of the sort of thing that gets cropped up. It isn't for everybody, but the sort of thing that people talk about. Imagine you're on a beach and you're in the sun, someone's bringing you drinks, and the only decision you've got to make is whether to go for Mexican or Chinese. And all the while, you know that your bank is generating cash in the background whilst you're on holiday, that kind of thing. You get the concept, don't you? When you think about all the points that are in that vision, they are all fear-based. Now, it's the opposite. It's looking at the fear and then what's the alternative version of that? Oh, I'm scared of losing everything. Okay, let's have everything. I'm scared of not being a good. Okay, you are good. So it's just a flip side of the negative thing. So it's not actually bringing anything new to the party. If you're getting into making a difference, and what you do, let's say you've dealt with your fear of losing everything, and now you're actually more about, you've found your purpose, which is actually to educate young entrepreneurs so that they are never in a position of poverty and lack and challenge again. And actually what you do is bringing a poor family back into a situation where they are able to look after themselves, for example, you know, something like that. Then you look at your vision and you think, I'm sat on a beach, having a drink, choose what I want. And whilst I'm sat here, I know that another family is being brought out of poverty because of the work that I've done. Shifts the way you look at what you do. And if you always move into something which is just the opposite of fear, you can only get so much satisfaction out of it. But if you get to that extra level where you're making that difference, it doesn't matter where you are, you're always going to be looking to improve things and make things better.
Yeah, making a difference is really important, I think. And any business, as you know, you have to make a difference in the person's life that you're trying to help, I believe.
Yes.
I think if you're not going to do that, I think you're missing the point of having a business if you're not going to make that difference. You know, whether it's you know, making someone smile for the day or bringing them happiness for the fact that, you know, whatever it is that you're offering them has brought wisdom or wealth to the person you're serving. I think so. If you're making a difference in the world, you've got to be a little bit heart-centered, I think, in your business. It doesn't matter what kind of business you have or that you run or that you work in or what business you work for. I think as long as you are heart-centered, you can use that philosophy of making a difference to someone's life in whatever shape, form, or however small it might be.
Absolutely. And with the other trap we have to avoid is getting into sort of a comparison. It's like, oh, the difference I'm making doesn't seem good enough compared to what other people do. And it's not about that. It's what's important to you. And if what's important to you is making a smile on a kid's face or a family or just making everybody feel a little bit better for some reason, if that matters to you, that's the important thing. And this comes back to what we're saying at the start. There's no right or wrong. It must be this. It comes back to you. What's important to you and what works for you. And that's where the driver
should
be.
Absolutely. I totally 100% agree with that. My passion project is helping domestic violence survivors find their soft place to land. And to do that, we hold free pamper days on an annual basis where, you know, businesses come in, offer their services, whether it be hairdressing or whatever. And, you know, to these survivors, just to make one day of, I don't know, enjoyment for them, because a lot of them, you know, haven't had a happy time of it. And so, you know, that's my passion project and I love it. And I love the fact that I can just bring a smile to someone's face, just even if it's for 5 minutes, you know, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah. And it matters to you as well. And we've got it again. We get all these banding about, oh, it's selfish to get sort of, but we are, everything we do, we have to get something out of it. That's how it works. But it's getting that win-win collaboration going. Why should I not? I want to make a difference in that life, but why should I not feel good about that at the same time? If we're both feeling good, I'm going to be driven to do more of it and help more people. So we want to get that resonant factor going so that it does make a difference to us. But obviously there's the knowing that we're doing good.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It doesn't matter what type of business you run, and I'll stand by that. now, we're always creating something in our businesses, you know, whether it's, you know, a new widget or a new way of doing things, or, you know, we trying to, you know, shortcut things so that they don't take us so long. But, you know, sometimes a lot of the tasks that we do are repetitive, they're mundane. How can we bring some joy to those?
Good question. Well, again, it's sort of, depends where you are. So obviously if there's some stuff that is repetitive that you genuinely don't enjoy and it's not your strength, and if you can get yourself to a position where you can get other people to do it, then absolutely. But if we are in a situation where we have to do it, there's those words, remember what we said before, why are we doing it? So let's pull back a set and say, oh, I cannot face doing my accounts this month, blah, 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 whatever it is, spreadsheets and that kind of thing. But why am I doing it? Why am I on this screen putting numbers in a thing, and get connected to the reason behind it? So if I want, in order to have my business, you know, do what I want it to do, I need to have we've got that context, we can then bring the need in. For me to get what I want, I need to have the numbers straight. Okay, fine. I can connect what I'm doing to a reason. what we normally do is go head spin, and do what we think we ought to be doing and ticking some boxes, rather than stepping back and going, is this my choice? Am I choosing to do this, or am I being forced down it? If I chose not to do it, what would happen? Oh, nothing. Let's try not doing it for a while and see what happens. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's come back and come back to doing it, but bring it back into out of control.
Yeah, my counting prowess is absolutely almost non-existent. I dislike numbers. I'm not a numbers person, and I will put off doing my accounts for as long as possible until it comes to tax time, and then I know I have to do them, and then I'm in a big rush to get them all done by the end of tax time.
Whereas I get a little frustrated if I haven't done them, well, haven't done them within the first 3 months of the, you know, like nine months before the deadline. But
it's horses for courses, I think. And, you know, we all have those things that, as you said quite rightly before, we have all those things that we don't gain enjoyment from. But you're right. You've got to find that reason why you're doing it. And the reason, you know, to do your accounts is obviously to find out how your business is going financially. So, you know, whether you can buy that new stapler or pen or whatever. So if you don't know what your accounts are, then, you know, obviously you can't buy that particular object. This has like gone off the tangent really well.
Is it? That is awesome. All seems to be in this. But it's just as a bridge umbrella. Everything is covered, so we can go anywhere. Don't worry.
A lot of us are stressed, you know, in our businesses, and you know, it really does affect our mental health, because a lot of the times we take our stress home, especially if we work outside of our business, like outside of our home. We bring the work stuff and the work stresses home to our spouses or our families or whoever might be in our close proximity. How can we better our mental health challenges? You know, what steps should we be taking to better balance the work life?
Okay, well, let me give a couple of tips in terms of coming home and bringing stuff home in the first instance. And there's a couple of little nuggets that I picked up. And it depends where you are. So some people work from home, so it's a different scenario. But if you've got a different space, it's leaving your room, whatever it might be. But remember someone doing a study of, I think it was this tribe in Africa he was visiting. And the chieftain said, come home and visit my family and that kind of thing. And as they went into the house, just before they went in, he just tapped the tree that was outside the house as he went in, and he noticed it. And a couple of days later, he'd done it a few times. So why'd you keep tapping the tree as you come in? And he says, I go out there, I've got all these issues and worries and problems I've got to deal with. And when I come home, mentally, I just hang all my problems onto the tree before I go in. So when I go into the house, I'm clean, I'm focusing on my family and what's needed back in that house, knowing full well that when I want to pick up my troubles, they're out there. And the next morning I get up, I pick them off the tree again. And weirdly enough, it's lighter than it was yesterday, but sometimes. But I know they're there, so I don't worry about them. And I think that's a quite nice little thing of just sort of shifting that mindset when you go into a different stage. The other one is the, let me get the timing right, I think it's the 4 minute rule, approximately. We are resonant creatures. If I come in with a certain energy, you're going to pick up on that energy and you're going to reflect it back at me, and I'll pick up on your energy and boom, boom, boom. If I come in moody and gloomy and down, you're going to pick up on that. And guess what's going to happen? We're going to get into a pity battle, and before we know it, we're all like doom and gloom and arguing and all the rest of it. So we want to come in a positive mindset and be the best we can. And the statistics show we only need to be doing that for 4 minutes. If we can focus on being positive and the best we can for 4 minutes, that will be enough for the other person to pick up on it and to get into a positive cycle when we're in that situation. So there's just a couple of little nuggets. Ultimately, where we want to get to is a position where we are focused on, let's get the wording right. We want to have a mindset that even though we're always going to be looking to do our best, that's that thing. We always want to be doing our best, but we do not want to be worried about the outcome. That's ultimately where we want to get to. So that doesn't mean we don't care. It doesn't mean that we're not invested in it, but it's this attachment to what happens. So a lot of worry is about putting our minds outside of the present, looking at the future, looking at the past and that kind of thing, and worrying about what's going to happen. What if this? What if this? What if this? If we can get to the stage where actually, whatever happens, I'm okay because I'll, if this happens, I'll deal with it. If this happens, I'll deal with it. But if we can get to a state where we go, I'm going to do my best. The result doesn't matter. Because it's this, well, part of the societal issues is the results drive our self-being, our worth. When we think of our exams and all the rest of it, it's like we are measured by the result. And that shouldn't be the case. It should be about who are we? Where are we now? Are we doing our best for the moment that we're in? Yeah, okay. The rest will take its care of itself. And that's sort of what we want to get to. Which easy to say, but that's kind of what the aim is to try to get to.
I think we as business owners or as humans, we can only do our best, and anything outside of that is probably not going to do us any good, because we're striving for something, some type of perfection that is probably not our own, but something that's been pushed on us by other people, family members, work colleagues, managers. As long as we can do our best and with hand on heart say that yes, I did my best, and if the outcome is not exactly what you envisaged, then that sometimes our dreams are a little bit outside of the scope of what we can do or manage anyway.
Yeah, because there's elements that's outside of our control. So I can do what I do, but it requires other people to behave in certain ways for it to achieve. And I cannot control that. I might be able to influence it. I might be able to communicate better or whatever it is. And I can always look and learn. But if I can take feedback and not take it personally, that's really both good and bad, because sometimes we can get, ego. But yeah, it's the experimental mindset. Is where we want to be, and it's like, oh, what happens when I do this? Oh, that's interesting. And curiosity, passionate curiosity. Yeah, oh, that's interesting. That's the may you live in
Absolutely.
interesting times, as they say.
I agree, Andrew. Now, on your business site, Business Enjoyment, you've got a quiz. Can you just let the audience know a little bit about what it is and what the outcome of it that they can expect?
Looking at how who we are, how we run, there's I sort of alluded earlier on to the sort of business enjoyment model that's broken into a number of different sections. So what it looks at are the what I perceive to be some of the key elements that we have within us that can either give us satisfaction or dissatisfaction. And if I was to ask you what your stresses are, normally we'll know what those are and we can label the top three. But sometimes there's a question you've never even been asked before. So just being asking the question, it might, I never even given thought that that was important. Well, no, it is actually. So sometimes it's just the act of asking the question actually gets the brain going and gets you thinking about things. But it gives you an opportunity to reflect on that, come up with a score, and ultimately come up with a business enjoyment score at the end of the day, and the areas where the gaps might be, and what you can possibly do about them to. Either maintain the levels or improve the levels.
Wonderful. So you can find that, people, at quiz.businessenjoyment.com backslash score, and that you can find Andrew's quiz there. Where else can people find you, Andrew, if they want to know more about you or indeed work with you?
So main website is businessenjoyment.com, unsurprisingly. And LinkedIn's the best place to go if it's on the social media platform. So Andrew Miller's not the rarest name on the planet. But there's not many business enjoyment people out there. So sling that in and I'll come up. And particularly look at the featured section. There's lots of stuff shifting and changing and stuff coming up. So books available and talks available, and look at my TED talk and all the la la la. But yeah, featured section on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Now, I ask most often this question: if you were to give some tidbit of advice or some, motivational piece to our audience today, what might that be, Andrew?
I'm prepared. So bottom line is, so my, let me just tap into my mission so that people are aware of it. So the big thing I have is that that money is the only measure of success that we have. And when we have that as the only measure of success, that's one of the things that creates stress because we're not that way inclined. So the advice is, you kind of led with it, to be honest. You stole my thought. Is that if you're running your own business, you can, you have the power, the ability to create whatever you want to create. So why create something that has stress inbuilt? If you're not enjoying what you're doing, what's the point? Exactly as you said.
Great advice. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. And I hope to invite you on again later on in the year if you're open to that.
Oh, that'd be fabulous. Yeah, thank you. No, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to come on.
Lovely. Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you. Cheers.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time. Talking with the Experts.